The scripture reading for our meditation this morning is taken from the book of James, the third chapter, beginning with verse 5. The tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In the 1960s, up in St. Paul, Minnesota, there was a car dealership that happened to be right across the street from a fireworks store. This was back when there were fireworks stores aplenty. And the story is told of a man that came to buy a whole bunch of fireworks one day and had the trunk of his car open and was loading in boxes and boxes and boxes of different types of fireworks, and happened to be a rather portly man. And while he was loading these boxes in, he had a cigar in his mouth, and the embers from the cigar slipped and went down into the box and started igniting fireworks. And he quickly ran away from the car. And the man who was telling the story that observed it said the back end of the trunk was just exploding out into this car dealership all over the cars, causing damage on the paint jobs on the cars. All of that from one little cigar igniting everything. They claim that in 2017, 10 million acres in the United States was burned, 90% of it caused by humans, carelessly not being careful with fires, often starting with just a match and a campfire. When the book of James uses that imagery of how a huge forest fire can be set on fire with just a little bit of a flame, that's something that's very easy for us to envision and to understand. It's quite a picture of, he says, of how our tongues are, how we use our mouths, and how we can just ignite and destroy things, someone's reputation, with how we talk about them. He says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. No man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And that strikes at my conscience when I hear that. I think to myself, so what have I burned down lately with my mouth? Whose reputation, maybe even in this room, have I torched lately by things that I have said? Isn't it interesting that with our first parents, right after the fall into sin, the first outward demonstration of the evil that's now in them came through their mouths, through their communication with one another and with God. Your tongue defiles your entire body, James tells us. And he uses a very, very interesting expression. He says, the tongue is set on fire by hell. Think what he's saying there. The flames of hell come up through our sinful, wicked old Adam and come out of our mouths, is what he's saying. That our tongues can be set on fire by the fires of hell. He uses another image of taming creatures. He says, think of all the animals in the world that have been tamed. Different types of dogs and wolves and bears and lions and snakes even. And yet he says no one is able to tame the tongue. We can't even tame our own tongues and hold them in the right way. Often our unwillingness, or our willingness, I should say, I know this is true in myself. Often my willingness to use my mouth as a way to destroy someone else's reputation is rooted in my own pride. or it's sometimes rooted in my own insecurities. We get this strange, odd, twisted thinking in our minds. It goes like this. Well, if I can speak in such a way that tears down this person in front of the one I'm talking to, it's going to make me look better. Think how silly that is. And yet that's kind of how our minds often go about this. We think that somehow we're elevating ourselves when we use what we say to make someone else's reputation sink down. So James says to us how sad this is that we use the same mouths to glorify God as we're doing even here this morning, and then use them to cause such destruction as well. A number of you have probably heard me say this before, a little story, but a lady was talking to me after church one day. We had just been kind of studying a text like this in church, and she said to me, wonderful Christian woman, she said, "Man, I'm so mad at myself. I can't even get out to my car after church without sinning. Can't even make it out to the parking lot," she said, "without sinning." James says to all of us, "My brethren, these things ought not to be so." Now, did you notice what he calls us, though? Brethren. He says, "Brethren, these things ought not to be so." This is fellow Christians that need to hear this. These things that come out of us does not destroy our faith in that sense. Certainly it's contrary to the faith we profess. But he still addresses us as brethren. And this problem has been around in the history of the church through all time. All Christians have struggled with these sins. It's a sad reality of our fallen, sinful human nature. I remember years ago, after preaching a sermon like this, after shaking hands with everybody on a Sunday morning, I went into another larger room in our church, and there was a couple way off in the corner, elderly couple, and the woman was sobbing and crying, and I came over, her husband was consoling her, and I said, "Is everything okay?" And she said, "Your sermon today just got me to the heart." She said, I have struggled with this my whole life. She said, "I don't have any friends because of it. I've lost friends over this. It's a problem I've had my whole life." The prophet Isaiah, when he was presented with the holiness of God, cried out, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." But when he confessed that, when he felt that guilt in his heart and confessed that to God, notice that God didn't leave him there. God didn't just wipe him aside. Instead, if you remember that story in Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord sends his angel down to take a tongs and go to the altar of sacrifice, a picture of the coming sacrifice of Christ, the Son of God. And he goes to that altar and pulls out a live coal, and he brings it over to the mouth of Isaiah. And he now singes his lips. He touches his lips as an indication to show that what this altar is depicting, in other words, the payment for your sins through Christ, has now personally been applied to you. And then he says, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And we don't have that altar like that here today. We just have God's word. But it's the same absolution that's coming through me today to you. That God now comes to you and touches your ears with that precious knowledge of what Christ has done for you to cleanse you. He says, "See, this has touched you, and your guilt is now taken away and your sin atoned for." And think about how your God talks about you. We heard this the first week of chapel. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God who's called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. He says to you, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And so every week, the pastor stands before you on behalf of God to talk to you, to show you how God talks to his church. And he absolves you. He tells you of the forgiveness of your sins. He, at the end of the service, he stands there on behalf of God and he says those great words of Scripture, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face, lift up his face and countenance upon you," and so on. Beautiful blessing. Back in the very early church in the 4th century, there was a man by the name of John Chrysostom. And John Chrysostom was known for being such a great preacher that his name literally means golden mouth. His mouth was like gold to the people he spoke to. You, as a child of God who's been now covered with the blood of Christ to forgive your sins, you, when you go out into the world as his child and speak loving concern to others and encourage others and build them up, you're a little Chrysostom. God calls upon you now as his child to be a little John Chrysostom out there in the world, to speak his golden grace and wonderful message of love to others. How can I use my voice now to lift people up? How can it be that when I leave the room, everything is better for people rather than worse than when I came in? And someday, these same voices will be used around the throne of our Savior to sing praise for his wonderful grace that brought us to that precious place. Oh Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will show forth your praise. Amen.